I will call this order to meeting for the Planning Commission on Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024, at 6:07 p.m. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available live streaming on the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. And a reminder, sometimes the broadcast is up to a minute behind what's actually happening in the room. Unfortunately, this evening, we do not have phone service for you to call in to the meeting. We will continue with the flag salute. Would you like to do it?
Sure. Please rise.
Thank you.
Begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Ms. Ratana, would you please call the roll?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Here.
Commissioner Halverson?
Here.
Vice Chair Swift?
Here.
Chair Mann?
Here.
And let the record show that Commissioner Hoffman is not present. I'm sorry, Commissioner Holden.
Thank you. We move on to reviewing our agenda. At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission should by motion adopt the agenda as presented or as revised. Are there any changes to the agenda that we've received?
No.
Do I call off people for this? I can't remember. Okay. Hearing no changes to the agenda, do I have a motion to approve the agenda? And do I have a second?
I make a motion we approve the agenda as submitted.
Thank you, Commissioner Halverson.
I will second that.
Thank you, Commissioner Hoffman. This is a voice vote. So all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposed, are there any abstentions? No? The motion passes. We now move on to our first section of public communications. During this time, the Commission will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the Commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total and any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this Commission. The Commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. So this is for items generally that are not. If it's on the agenda, we will also have public comment later. I will open public comment now. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the Commission at this time? Seeing none, and since we have no one on the line, I will close public comment. I will now open public comment for any member of the public who wishes to address the Commission on the item listed under the consent agenda, which is the minutes of the previous meeting. So I open public comment on that. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the item on the consent agenda? Seeing none, I will close public comment. Moving on to, we need a motion to approve the consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
I'll move that we approve the consent agenda.
Thank you, Vice Chair Swift. And do I have a second?
I will second that.
This is a roll call vote, so I would ask Ms. Ratana to please lead that.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. The motion passes. We now move on to our public hearing items. The first item, number two, is the development application 24-27. And I don't have the title here. Let me move to my other piece of paper here. Which is a request for a one-year time extension for the development application 21-49, a development permit and use permit to construct a 12,640-square-foot industrial building with potential future commercial cannabis uses within the industrial zone. The project site is located at 1073 Houston Street, and the proposed project received a Class 32 exemption for infill development. I'd like now at this time to call on Assistant Planner Mesa for her presentation.
Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. On June 7th, 2022, the Planning Commission approved a development permit, as stated previously, to construct a single-story 12,640-square-foot industrial shell building with associated site improvements, as well as a use permit for potential future non-retail commercial cannabis uses at 1073 Huston Street. The site consists of two legal lots totaling approximately 0.39 acres, non-conforming 725-square-foot residence that was constructed in 1948, exists at the site and is proposed to be demolished as part of this project. Staff recommends the time extension request be granted for a one-year extension. Additional time is being requested by the applicant due to the current high cost of construction financing. Following this extension, the applicant will be eligible for two additional time extensions of 1 year. And that concludes staff's report.
Thank you very much. Do any commissioners have any questions for staff? Commissioner Halverson?
No.
Commissioner Hoffman?
No.
Vice Chair Swift?
No.
And I also do not have any questions. We'll now open the public hearing for this item. Is there anyone in the room who would like to comment on item number two? Seeing no hands and no one on the line, since we don't have that today, I will close public comment. Is the applicant present? I don't see them. I suppose I should have done that before the public comment. Hearing no further comments, I will close the public comment portion of this item and let the commission provide comments on the report. Commissioners, do you have anything else to share? Then I will invite a motion for item two to adopt the resolution approving development application 2427 for a one-year time extension for development application 2149. Do I have a motion?
I will move to adopt the resolution approving development application 24-27 for a one-year time extension.
And do I have a second?
I will second the motion.
Clerk Ratana, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. The motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number three, this is development application 24-006. This is a request for a use permit to construct a new 2,420-square-foot, two-story residential structure on a developed commercial lot within the central business open zone. The site is located at 192 North 11th Street. The project is categorically exempt from environmental review.
Good evening, Honorable Chair and Commission. The project is located at 192 North 11th Street within the central business open zone. The site was partially developed in 1949 with a 1,000-square-foot residence and detached garage. Subsequently, the residence was converted to a commercial office use in 1985, and then the garage was converted to office in around 1993. Currently, a professional law office operates there. The applicant proposes the development of a new two-story residential structure south of the existing structures. The project is considered a mixed-use development because the new residential structure will be located on the same site as the two existing commercial office structures. In accordance with the development code, the Planning Commission review of a use permit is required to authorize the proposed mixed-use development within the central business open zone. The proposed project consists of a new two-story residential structure that includes two residential units above a three-car garage and storage area.
The ground floor consists of three garages, with all three with some laundry and storage, and then a fourth space to serve as storage area for the property itself. The residential units are each 600 square feet or so, and the units are accessed from North 11th Street through a covered porch that leads to a shared interior stairwell. Both units also include a 60 square foot balcony oriented towards the south above the driveway. The project site is located within the Central Business District mixed-use designation in the land use element. There are two main general plan policies that are applicable to the proposed project, LU 4.3, mixed-use development, and 4.4, design of mixed-use development. The project My cursor's moving around. The project meets meets requirements of the development code, including the established objective design standards. The proposed project is categorically exempt from the provisions of CEQA as an infill project. And staff recommends doing a revision to the resolution under section 1, findings for environmental exception, paragraph 3 or number 3. There were some typos that said industrial zone, but they're commercial. So it'll read, the project will not have a cumulative impact of successive projects of the same type in the same place over a period of time. The project is located within a commercial zone with similar types of uses and does not exceed the intensity for the type of proposed uses within the underlying zone. So staff recommends the resolution approving the development application be adopted based on the findings contained in the resolution, in the draft resolution, and as amended, and subject to the conditions of approval. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you very much, Associate Planner Rees. Do any commissioners have questions for staff? I will call on you alphabetically. Commissioner Halverson?
No.
Commissioner Hoffman?
No.
Vice Chair Swift?
I do, and it's I always think of more questions after I ask you the first round. Two questions. The first one is, in the parking, it lists that it's conforming for parking, so two units, three spots, so 1.5 per spot. Does its proximity to the Ramona bus park change that in terms of having transportation nearby? Or does that fall outside of what's considered public transportation?
Are you asking as it relates to the 10% reduction rule within Correct. Our code? Associate Planner Rees or Senior Planner Bell, if you'd like to respond to that.
Yes, so the project is located within a transit route, so it would be eligible for the 10% reduction. In this circumstance, the applicant didn't request any reductions, but it would be eligible for so.
It would be, okay. And then my other question goes back to the objective design standards, and I keep forgetting to look this up, but there used to be something in the standards for upper story massing relative to ground floor. Was that removed in the latest revision?
I believe it's the 80% rule. So
Correct.
The second story is required to be 80% of the first floor. Is that applicable within this zone?
It is not applicable.
It's not. Okay.
For this type of development.
Great.
For multifamily.
But it would be for single family residential development.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Swift. I do not have any questions at this time. So I will close the commissioner questions and invite is there any member of the public who wishes to comment on item 3?
Can you please open the public hearing?
Oh, yes, I need to open this. Here we go. I open public comment. Yes, would you give us your name, please?
Public hearing. Sorry. Can you open the public hearing?
I open the public hearing on item three.
Okay. My name is Krista. I live across the street. Looks good. I like it better than an empty lot. The staff report, I believe, said that you can build up to three housing units on, not that this even matters, but I'm just wondering why, if there's allowed to be three, why the applicant isn't doing three, or like, seems like it could be more. I'm just curious as to why that is not, but otherwise, yeah, looks great.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room who'd like to speak to item three for this public hearing? Seeing no one else, I will close the public hearing for item three. We now have an opportunity to discuss amongst ourselves, commissioners, the report. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the project they'd like to talk about?
Can I go alphabetically?
Yeah, we can keep doing that. Commissioner Halverson.
All right. No, I think it's a good project. As far as how many units are being built, I don't know. I think these units look pretty appropriate sized, and there's not a lot more room, I don't think. Anyway, we could have torn, or he could have torn down some of the other buildings and made a lot more out of the lot. But using what was available and minimizing the cost, I think the city benefits from having two new housing units. So I think it's a great project.
Thank you. Commissioner Hoffman?
I think in Phil Light, this makes a lot of sense, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it comes about. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Chair Swift?
Yeah, I think I was in the same boat as Ms. Jeffries, and the reason I asked the question about the parking is because if you get fractional density and you look at what's allowed in that area, you could get quite a few small units. But what I've heard from a lot of the developers is that they generally run into parking problems in trying to fit the most small, affordable by design units in there. And I guess my question back to the city staff would be, have you engaged the developer so that he understands, you know, what he's capable of and where maybe some of those challenges are in terms of parking, and if there's anything that basically can work to give him more flexibility in adding, you know, one or with really small units, two additional units?
Yeah, this project actually has been going around in various iterations for a couple years. Okay. And if I remember correctly, it was some financial constraints that limited him to just this two-story building.
And I'll just add, should the question be asked, we would be happy to provide them with the pathway forward, the permitting requirements, any hurdles they'd have to jump through as it relates to parking, allocation, density, whether or not there needs to be a mixed-use component associated with the residential. There's lots of rabbit holes you could go down in the planning realm, as we all know. But we would definitely be open to having that conversation should they ask that question.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Vice Chair Swift. I'm also excited about the project. It's always nice to see homes and units coming online that are, when I first moved to the area, gosh, it was almost 8 years ago, this was the kind of place I would have been looking for. So I'm glad to see it happening. I understand constraints. Of course, we'd like to see things maxed out. I think there's a sense of urgency, but this person's doing what they can, and I think that's really admirable. So I'm excited about the project. So with that, I will invite a motion to adopt the resolution approving development application 24-06. Do I have a motion?
Sure, I move that we approve development application 24-06 as amended in the staff report.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Clerk Rotana, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. And that motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Let us move on to item number four, which is development application 23-46. This is a request for a development permit to establish a 1,860-square-foot second-floor expansion within an existing building located in the industrial zone. The project includes a 23% parking reduction to reduce the required parking from 11 to 8 spaces, and a modification to standards to reduce the required landscaping area from 5% to 3%. The project is located at 1091 Highland Way. The project is categorically exempt from environmental review. And I will invite Senior Planner Bell to give his presentation.
All right, thank you so much. Good evening. Tonight we will be discussing development permit application for an 1,800 square foot second story addition to an existing structure. Here we go. Project site is located along a private shared driveway with direct access from Highland Way. The project site is located in the industrial zone and was previously occupied by a cabinet workshop. The project site is surrounded by industrial uses to the east and west, a fitness facility to the south, and storage and office spaces to the north. The existing structure was constructed in 2004, and following the initial construction, a section of the building was augmented into a second floor without the necessary permits. The current owner is proactively working with the city to obtain the development permit to formally establish this alteration and obtain the required permit to designate the second floor as an accessory office. The project site provides 6 parking spaces on site, with 2 spaces located off site at the end of the shared driveway. These shared parking spaces, as shown in yellow on the screen, were previously authorized for use under the Highland Terrace Planned Industrial Development CCNRs, and they're not subject to the discussion or request today. So they are currently allowed for the site to use. The original structure was initially permitted as a single-story industrial building featuring vaulted ceilings along the north side of the property, which was later converted into a second floor. The applicant is requesting the approval of the development permit to initiate the necessary procedures to permit the second floor through the permit process. The applicant's proposal to expand an industrial use located in the industrial zone is consistent with the city's general plan. The proposed expansion to accommodate the accessory office as associated with a light manufacturing facility is consistent with the purpose of the zone. The project also complies with industrial design guidelines and does not include any exterior improvements to the existing structure. The project complies with the applicable development and performance standards consistent with the provisions and requirements for the industrial zone, with the exception to landscaping coverage and minimum parking requirements. The additional 23% parking reduction to reduce the required parking from 11 to 8 spaces is appropriate because the project has there's no current evidence that the request to reduce the required parking from 11 to 8 spaces is appropriate for the projects as no evidence has been provided that the historic usage of the unpermitted second story has resulted in any impacts to parking in the vicinity. The project is not anticipated to result in any increase in parking demand from the existing conditions of the property. And the project also provides sufficient parking in accordance with the Institute of Transportation Engineers Parking Generation Manual, as described in the parking study that was provided in the application materials. The Planning Commission also has the authority to provide flexibility to allow for minor deviations or exceptions from the development standards to respond to unique conditions of a property. In this case, full compliance with the landscaping coverage requirements would likely necessitate a further reduction in the on-site parking for the property. The request to reduce the landscaping coverage from 5% to 3% is considered minor in nature and will not result in any physical change to the existing conditions of the site. The proposed project is categorically exempt from the provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act, and the required findings for the exemption have been included in the draft resolution. And tonight's recommendation is to find the project consistent with the general plan and development code and approve the project as proposed, subject to the findings and conditions outlined in the draft resolution. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you, Planner Bell. Do any commissioners have any questions for staff at this time? I we'll start again with Commissioner.
Do I get to go first again?
Sure. It says go alphabetical order.
So I do have a few questions. This second floor, I guess we call an addition, built into the existing building because it had a vaulted ceiling. Has the city received any documentation that shows that this is has been done to code, electrically and structurally and so on?
So that actually will be the next phase of the project. So preceding the development permit approval, the applicant will be required to submit a building permit to verify compliance with current building code requirements. The applicant has previously submitted a building permit for initial review, and the development permit was flagged as a requirement before further proceeding with the building permit review process.
Okay, I see. So that's a future step.
Correct.
Okay, very good. And my other question is the parking study. Historically, it's been a light manufacturing use, I mean, we don't know what it's going to be used for in the future is the catch. It could be turned into a karate dojo where you have tens of people coming for classes at a time. How do we account for that unknown?
Correct. So each time a new business license is submitted with the city for REACH, we review it for parking to ensure that the facility has adequate parking for the proposed use. And so we would verify whether or not the change of use would trigger any additional impacts for parking. And if so, we would identify that with the applicant to identify a solution or a plan to resolve the impact.
Okay, so us approving this project to go forward would potentially limit its potential uses in the future with limited parking.
Potentially, correct.
Yeah. Okay, very good, thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Hoffman?
No questions.
Vice Chair Swift?
Will we see this again as it gets further developed, or is this the only time we'll see it?
This is your opportunity to review it for consistency with our land use ordinance. So it will not return unless there is a change of use outside of the occupancy it holds now.
Or other exceptions as they get into the actual building permit?
Exceptions or modifications resulting from application of a building permit are reviewed by the building official as well as the community development director. Okay. So unless there are modifications to the conditions of approval that are the basis for your decision this evening, so for example, the landscaping, if they wanted to change that in the future and it was a specific decision that the commission made regarding the conditions of approval, that would need to come back to you. If at the building permit stage they said, no, we're going to change, we need to change it to 2% because, really great example, accessibility, parking accessibility requirements, if they have to redesign the parking structure and they have to decrease the landscaping, we may need to come back to the commission to grant an exception to decrease the landscaping further to accommodate parking. But otherwise, those decisions are made by the building official as well as the community development director.
Unless appealed by the applicant, right? If there was a case where there was something.
There would not be an appeal available during the building permit process.
Okay.
Unless this evening they choose to appeal your decision to the city council.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you, Vice Chair Swift. I do not have any questions myself. So now I will open the public hearing for item 3. I invite the applicant to come forward if they'd like to say something.
I'm John Hodges. My wife, Melanie, is here with me this evening. And other than the materials that we submitted, I don't have any other comments, but I'm certainly happy to answer any questions you might have about this.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the item? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. Commissioners, do we have questions among ourselves about the project? I will start again with Commissioner Halverson.
No other questions.
Commissioner Hoffman?
No questions.
Vice Chair Swift?
No questions.
And I also have no questions. So I will invite a motion to adopt the resolution approving development application 2346.
I move that we adopt the resolution to approve development application 2346.
I second.
Thank you. Clerk Quintana, would you kindly call the roll?
Vice Chair Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Halverson?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
And Chair Mann?
Yes. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Seeing no regular business items this evening, we will move on to commissioners' comments. I suppose we're on not the specific items on the list, but any other general comments? Commissioner Halverson?
I don't have any other comments. Thank you.
Commissioner Hoffman?
I just want to say I heard that the Palladium is already sold out entirely. I don't know if you guys know anything, but...
Yes, the Palladium is... they are no longer accepting anybody on the wait list. It's all been sold, and they are now opening Encore. I'm not sure the numbers on that wait list at this point in time right now.
Cool. Wow. Exciting.
Your neighbors.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
No.
Vice Chair Swift.
This is just our open questions and comments, isn't it?
Yep. It is.
Yep, where we can talk about whatever we like, I guess.
Yeah, so I think it goes back to Krista Jeffrey's comments, and I think I've probably been pretty vocal about it too, is I think with the new development code and the ability to do fractional density, it seems like we have the tools there to get smaller, more affordable by design units. And what I often again hear from the developers is they just can't get there because the parking always kills them. And I'm just wondering, is there something else that we're missing as upcoming revisions to the code come out that we can do to not create parking problems downtown or parking problems in the neighborhoods, but still find ways to, you know, creatively help the developers build more smaller units?
I think that's a more complex question than I can answer. I think I'll answer it two ways. The first, this is giving me feedback, sorry. The first I would say is anytime we meet with a potential applicant who has a vision or a concept for their property and their project, we always intend to give them the highest and best use of what they can accomplish there, and it is within their budget and their financial constraints as to whether or not they can meet that expectation of what our development code allows for. So that's how I'll first answer that question. The second part of it is, what more can we do outside of what some cities are doing across the United States, which is eliminating parking requirements in their entirety for residential developments at specific that meet qualifying criteria? I want to at least provide that caveat. Outside of that, I don't know that I have an answer for you. I do know that the state continues to push a lot of their agenda to further housing development in communities, and that means that a lot of our rules continue to change on a yearly basis. In other words, parking continues to be reduced for certain types of qualifying housing projects. Outside of that, we have not yet identified a creative solution for something like this, but we continue to be open and continue to provide options to the folks that come to us with projects.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
None.
I was thinking about not just the parking situation, but in these sort of small lot projects, I've been reading a bit about how the requirement of having two staircases in, you know, I think it's six or more units, or if you have something that's three stories, that ends up with this, the designs are, you're basically taking up space with an extra staircase, where in the modern era of fire suppression, building code, it doesn't always make sense. And I did read that last year the state decided they were going to start studying this topic to see if there was some revision we could do, but I don't know if that might be a national building code type of thing that needs to go, you know, beyond the local and the state level. But, you know, you go to any other country and you'll see these sort of cute courtyard buildings with maybe six units on a small lot, and we just can't build them here. Even though I think Grover Beach, our lot size would be really, it would really help. So that's sort of what came to mind with that project. But again, I'm glad to see it. I want to talk also about, I feel like there is sort of a lack of understanding of the changes from the building code, and I wonder if, you know, what we can do to communicate the rationale behind those changes a bit better publicly. And maybe one of the city talks that we've been doing would be a good place for that.
I can look into that further for you. I think we would need to really refine the scope of what those changes are that people are not necessarily understanding. Mm-hmm. There are lots of different subsets of the building code that are very complex and not something that even a planner probably fully understands. There's the energy code that has a lot of hurdles for people to jump through. We've got our accessibility requirements. We've got plumbing. There's just a whole host of things that people have to consider when they're looking to convert a space, add on, build new. But in that vein, I have talked to City Manager Matt Bronson about providing a city talk towards the end of this year into next year, mm-hmm. When he plans to restart city talks to provide that information to the general public. As to your first question, in summer of 2025, we will begin updating for our building code to be compliant with the new building code cycle. So that'll begin in summer of 2025, and we'll have something for the council to adopt at the end of the year 2025. Okay. So new provisions coming forward. So what I can do is I can also make sure that we provide some kind of summary, maybe even invite our building official to come and can give your commission some insight into what's changing and what to anticipate moving forward.
Sounds great. I have no further comment, so Community Development Director Martin, I would invite your presentation or your discussion.
Okay, well, thank you. So just wanted to make everybody aware, Coastal Community Builders hosted a groundbreaking ceremony for 401 West Grand Avenue last Thursday. We anticipate construction of Building 1. If you remember, this was an approved development that would consist of two residential mixed-use residential buildings, and the first one will begin construction toward the end of July, early August. Our West Grand Avenue streetscape improvements continue. You may have heard that there was a water main break along West Grand Avenue, but just assuring you that the construction is still on schedule and anticipated for completion at the end of the year. The city also initiated a buy local program. Participants who spend $100 will receive a $25 gift card at participating restaurants, wineries, breweries, as well as retail establishments between PCH and 9th Street, and then Ramona to Rockaway. So it captures those businesses. And for more information, please feel free to visit the South County Chamber's website. There's a complete list of businesses that are participating in that. And also important to note, you can combine multiple receipts to reach that $100 goal and receive that gift card. The Community Development Department's updating the city's development code. We're looking for your input as well as the general public. The survey is available at the city's community development webpage, so we just ask that you take a look and provide any feedback regarding the city's development code and the changes that we're making. And the last two updates that I feel are always obligatory, development at 950 El Camino Real continues. There's no updates to note. There are no changes in the status of the lodge project at this time. And I'm available for any additional questions.
Are there any other questions for Director Martin?
Nope.
I'm seeing everyone shake their head.
No.
I also don't have any more questions. So, being at the end of our agenda, with no further business before the commission, I will adjourn this meeting at 6:46. Thank you, everyone.